interested in the things of God and want the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. We've had some excellent classes, and God is so very good to us. Amen. And God wants us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that must be on a daily basis.
Amen.
And we're to be transformed by the renewing of the mind so that we can prove what the will of God is. Well, do we need to prove God's will? Well, absolutely we do. We want to do His will, not our will. If you'll notice in the book of Isaiah, our text in verse 29 says He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might he and to him who lacks might he increases power. To him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Mounting up wings like eagles. The eagle, probably one of the birds that lives the longest of any other bird. He will molt. And you know what that does? Gives him new feathers. And so even in his old age, you know what an eagle can do? He can still soar. He'll mount up wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired. They'll walk and not become weary. If a man has the Spirit of God in him, even in his old age, will he remain true and faithful to the Creator of the universe? You know, age doesn't make the difference. It's the man. It's the spirit within a man. I would not trade my body for a youthful body and go back to my youth with my mind. Because in my old age, you know what I have now? A mind that's matured. Now, I'm not there yet, because it's faithful until you're dead. But I like where I am right now in life.
Amen.
My dad always told me it gets better as you get older. And he's right. Because you're mature and you have yourself focused on what you want to do. The word wait means to pause, means God is working. God intervenes in your life to stay in place in expectation, to delay in hope of a favorable change, to remain stationary in readiness of expectation. The basic word from which wait is derived means to wind or twist. The word rope being a noun that comes from this term. The meaning here is that the believer should let the Lord be his lifeline, his cord of escape. I like that definition. Is God your lifeline? Your means of escape from this world. Love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then, of course, that's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In the book of 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat was a good man. He loved the Lord. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat's in a predicament. And the Moabites and the Ammonites have come up against him. And he knows he can't defeat them on his own strength. So in verse 5 says, Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not God in the heavens? And art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of the in the heavens? And art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in thy hand, so that no one can stand against thee. I just want to tell you something. You raise your neck up against Almighty God and his church. That's where you raise your neck up. You bow your neck against him. Let's support the Lord's church. Amen? Amen. That's the body of Christ. I mean, the church is everything. And then men want to lighten it and make it insignificant. I'm not going to read all of his prayer. You can do that. But in verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on thee. And all Judah standing before the Lord with their infants and their wives and their children. Verse 15, and he said, listen, all Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. This was given, the Spirit of the Lord came into the assembly under to Jehazel. And so Jehazel, being a prophet of God, is now speaking. And thus says the Lord to you, do not fear, be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but his. It's God's battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. David said that when he faced the Goliath, the old giant, if you recall. Do you believe the battle belongs to the Lord? You better make sure it's his battle, not yours, because you'll lose the battle. Satan is too powerful for you. If you can defeat Satan on your own power, own strength, Jesus died needlessly. Absolutely no purpose for him to die. You can't do it in your own strength. You know how they're going to defeat them? Just the way God said. Notice verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. In the prophets, the preachers. There are some preachers that know what they're doing. We're not perfect. But God says, listen to them. They're trying to lead and guide you and get you to heaven. That's their aim. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord, those who praised him in holy attire, as they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord in everything. Give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be thankful, amen. Don't you come in here and be a grump. Well, people have a problem with their attitude. The most destructive attitude you have is your own, not somebody else's. Don't kid yourself. People like to shift the blame. God is not going to accept excuses. But do we shift the blame? Oh, I'll tell you, we're clever at it. You know how they're going to win this? Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. And they defeated them, and all the possessions were theirs. What will we do? That's my topic. Well, what are you going to do? You going to trust the Lord? Is this battle the Lord's? Yes. We had a lesson on the Holy Spirit. I just can't believe there's so many scriptures on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You can't miss it. You are a false teacher to teach no indwelling. You're a false church, period. And I don't care who goes there. They're false. They're against the Word of God. I've studied with some of them. They smoke, they drink, and they cuss besides. Because they want the Holy Spirit out, not in. Well, I want the Holy Spirit in me. So what are we going to do? We're going to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding in all of our ways, we will acknowledge Him. What's He going to do for you? He's going to make your path straight. This is the straight and narrow. You better not miss it. In the book of Isaiah again, chapter 40, comfort my people, oh, comfort my people. You know why Isaiah said that? Because they're going in, he's prophesying, they're going into Babylonian captivity, but they're going to come out of that captivity. And so he wants to comfort them, because you read Isaiah 39, Hezekiah showed the officials of Babylon all his wealth, and you know what Isaiah said? They're going to own it one of these days, everything you've got. He wants to comfort his people. But there's another longer range prophecy. If you'll notice, in Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. That is a prophecy of John the Baptist preparing the way for the coming Messiah, is what that is. And so Isaiah wants to comfort God's people. Well, you know, that's what we want here, isn't it? Comfort, encouragement, to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding. Is that an easy thing for people to do? Turn to the book of Psalms 118. Verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice, be glad in it. What's the day we're to rejoice and be glad in? The day that the builders rejected the chief cornerstone. You know what day that is? When they crucified Christ. You read the Mark account, the parallel, when Jesus was in the came into the garden, you know what he did? He fell on his face. My Bible says that he sweated blood. I mean, he sweat blood. It was sweat profusely coming off of him, like drops of blood. Just profuse sweating, crying out to God, thy will be done, not mine. That is God in the flesh, facing the cross, crying out to his heavenly Father, thy will be done. You think you're stronger than Christ?
No.
I'll tell you, this life has problems. And you better face your problems. And you know how you better do it? Exactly the way God says. You know, there are times you need to just fall flat on your face. You know when you're getting weak. Come on. We know ourselves. You know your own bitterness. You know everything about you. But deception will destroy you. And so this is the day the Lord has made, and that day is the day of salvation as far as you and I are concerned. Does God want to save a people? Why, sure he does. You'll notice in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was thrown into prison because he was prophesying. I think it's Jeremiah 32. I'm sorry, Jeremiah 32. Thrown into prison because he is prophesying against Israel. They're going to go into the Babylonian captivity. Zedekiah didn't like it. So you know what Zedekiah did? He just threw him in prison. And so God told Jeremiah, he says, I want you to buy your uncle's field at Anatoth. You know what Jeremiah knows? He knows that Jerusalem, the surrounding area, is going to be destroyed. Now, wherever you live, if your city that you live in was going to be destroyed, would you want to buy some property in it? Well, I don't think so. But this is an object lesson for God's people, that Jeremiah, and he'll tell you right in here if you read it, Because of time, I'm not going to read all of this. But Jeremiah bought that field knowing good and well he would not profit from it. And I want you to see his burst of praise to God. In Jeremiah 32, verse 16, he's bought the field. Verse 16, after I had given the deed of purchase to Baruch, the son of Neriah, then I prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, and by thine outstretched arm, nothing is too difficult for thee, who showest loving kindness to thousands, but repayest the iniquity of fathers into the bosom of their children after them. O great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel. I marvel people will get every kind of a counsel but from God. Want worldly advice and not the advice God has. Mighty indeed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men. You're not going to fool God. Giving to everyone according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. There's nothing. Absolutely, that song says, absolutely nothing. Verse 27 says, where the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Is salvation too difficult for God? No, it isn't. Are there men that do not wait on the Lord, do not use God to deliver them? Saul, we're all familiar with Saul. That was brought up earlier in the week. He didn't wait on the Lord. You go back and study that and read 1 Samuel 10. I mean, he was to wait 7 days, but the battle got fierce against him, and so he offered that sacrifice in disobedience to Almighty God, and he was stripped of being king. You want to get stripped? You just disobey God. God has given us rules and regulations to obey or disobey. They're to be obeyed. Why do we have rules? To obey them, not disobey them, for our protection. So obey God, amen? You trust him with all your heart. How do you know? You will obey God. He gives the Holy Spirit to whom? All those that obey him. If you disobey him, you're going to quench the Holy Spirit. You'll have no power from Almighty God. I was actually going to go into how we know we have the Holy Spirit, just briefly. How do you know you have a spirit? The Bible says so. How do you know you have the Holy Spirit? The Bible says so. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, body, soul, and spirit. How do you know that you have a spirit? Well, you're alive. The body without the spirit is dead. Is it obvious that you're alive? Is it obvious when you're dead? We bury them. It's very obvious. The same with the Word of God and the same with the Holy Spirit. It's obvious if we have the Holy Spirit. It's obvious if the Word of God's dwelling in us. There's life. There's a certain way we are going to live. The Bible tells us we have the Holy Spirit. Are there numerous passages? Like 20-some passages. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, this will be sufficient. You are none of His, period. We are the temple of the living God, where He dwells in us. You can't miss it. It's the power of God working in a man. We're all flesh. We're all weak, frail individuals, all like grass, the flower of the grass. You pay attention to God. You obey Him. You know, Ezekiel, what a great man he was. Ezekiel 20, talks about the showers of blessings. Is it 34? I'm sorry. Ezekiel 34. The prophets of God were not doing their work, the shepherds. And so there's going to be another shepherd come. Verse 23 says, then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, who's that? It's Jesus, will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And then, if you'll notice, he's made a covenant of peace with us, verse 26, and I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing. I will cause showers to come down in their season. They will be showers of blessings. You parallel that with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And you know what we're going to have? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Amen. What are the heavenly places? The church. You better be for the church, not against it. This is the body of Christ. If you destroy the church or try to destroy it, you know what the Bible says God's going to do? He's going to destroy you. I've watched it take place. You go right ahead and try and destroy it and see what happens. There's a God in heaven. He watches over his people. I know that. And when all these showers of blessings, it's salvation, it's the Holy Spirit, it's the Lord's Supper, it's church, it's fellowship. The song service we read were Jehoshaphat, they were delivered through songs. You know, people want to skip the song service. We make melody to who? To the Lord. Isn't it amazing? People can make it to work on time 5 days a week. One day at church, they can't make it. Habitually skip the song service, lessening its power. Is there power in song service? You're not a kidding. Well, we'll close out here tonight today. It's certainly been good to be here.